Hello, 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 and welcome to the Sober Butterfly Podcast, your favorite resource for sober inspo, fun, and travel. It's me, Nadine Molina. Hi, so glad to see you. That rhymed. Oh my gosh. I just want to take a moment to open the episode and check in, okay? So if you follow me on Instagram at the period sober butterfly, you probably saw I was in Orlando this past weekend, living it up at PodFest. Thank you, Buzzsprout, for sponsoring that ticket. I had such an amazing time. I've made lifelong connections. I'm probably going to miss some people, so forgive me if I don't see your name and you're listening, but I just want to say thank you to Toya. Thank you to Shania. Thank you to Octavia. Thank you to Atia. Thank you to everyone that I met. Like, the list really goes on and on. Like, I have made lifelong friends and bonds, and I learned so much from being in a space that's curated for creatives. Funny enough, my name tag had my show, The Sober Butterfly, what you're listening to. And so it's in the name. And when it's in the name, it kind of lowers people's defenses because they're like, oh, your show must be about sobriety. And I'm like, yeah, it is. And now we can just skip the small talk and we can get straight to the good stuff. And so I was just having such good connections and conversations with people about sobriety and recovery and addiction, the whole gambit. So yeah, I encourage you, if you're sober, to talk more about your sobriety. You'd be surprised, like, that visibility can go a long way. It can really help other people who may be struggling with drinking. So yeah, I encourage you to not wear a name tag that says that you're sober on it. But if the opportunity presents itself, please do be open about your sobriety. That's dead the stigma. It's 2023. It's okay to be sober. And we are all sober for different reasons. So just remember that. Let's jump into this week's episode, because you may recall I was supposed to bring Ashley Johnson onto the show last year. So the end of 22, she was supposed to come on. And then we had, like, it was the retrograde. We had, like, tech issues. And I feel like I was, like, killing myself that we had such a good conversation and then it did not get to air. But God is good and everything worked out the way it was meant to be, because we just recorded the most amazing episode and I think it was better than the first time. So you're welcome. Thank you, retrograde. Anyway, in this week's episode, so a little bit of context, Ashley Johnson is a force to be reckoned with, okay? Not only is she a DJ, not only has she worked in corporate for JP Morgan, not only is she sober, almost six years of sobriety under her belt, but she's also launching an alcohol-free wine company called Wine Not. Now, Wine Not is incredible because, you know, not only is she sober and promoting sobriety, she's also a Black female business owner. I believe Why Not is going to be the first Black-owned female alcohol-free company. So I'm just so excited I got to talk to her before she blows up. I just love this idea that, like, she is not fronting, like, 50 Cent. Okay, so 50 Cent, if you are listening, I'm not happy with you, okay? You're in my shit book, because he has this little, like, cognac company and he doesn't drink. Like, what's up with that? I'm not even gonna say the name of the company, okay? Because I'm just so disappointed. We need to see more people who are actually about the culture and celebrating sobriety, not using Black people, not using the community to sell poison. Like, can we dead that, please? So everybody that's using their platform to actually live in their truth, I want to celebrate. And everyone that's doing the opposite of that can kick rocks, as far as I'm concerned. All right, I'm done with my rant. Okay, so Ashley's incredible. We talk not just about her amazing company, but we also talk about what it's like to be Black girls in white spaces and how sometimes that perfectionism of having to be the best version of self can actually be detrimental to your overall health in a bad way. And we talk about our shared history coming from a household where a parent drank a lot. We share what it's like to date sober. And I just can't wait for you guys to hear more about Ashley's story. So I want to say less and let you hear for yourself. Thank you so much for listening and let's go. So let's get into it, Ashley. Okay, tell the people, tell the listeners at home, just what gave you the concept or the inspiration to start your company, Why Not? I'm just really fascinated, and I want to give you all of the flowers because I 100% feel that now is the time. I'm hearing more and more people looking for alcohol-free options. So I'm wondering, what sparked the idea for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I gave up alcohol probably in 2017. You know, like most people started off with like a fast for 30 days, realized how much I loved it. But I recognized that in social settings, I still felt a little bit excluded. And sure, I can have sparkling water or juice, but I felt like I wanted something a little bit more fun, but more specifically for those celebratory and toast moments, like, hey, I just bought a house, or it's my birthday, or it's New Year's, and you kind of want to have that toast that feels like you're included in that experience. So I wanted to create a brand that gave people the opportunity to feel included in that, but also just kind of promote that you can have fun while being, you know, sober. You could still be social. And so that's where Why Not came from. It's just me wanting to help people be their best self and let them feel confident in their choices that they made.
Beautiful. I love that. First of all, tomorrow is the end of dry January. So Ashley and I are shooting this on the 30th. Tomorrow is the 31st of January. And I think a lot of people, once you get through that hump and you see like all the benefits that an alcohol-free lifestyle can offer, people want to keep the momentum going. But like to your point, I think it's in those moments when you're looking to pop bottles, if I may say so myself, yes, when you want to celebrate, it's like, okay, well, what is there for me? You know, like I want to be a part of the celebration. And to your point, it can be a little isolating. It can be a little like not, I'll say like ostracizing when you are in a public setting, when you're in a social setting, and it's like, am I really just going to sip on seltzer? Like, no, I want something else too. And that kind of leads to my next question for you, Ashley. So people are sober for a variety of reasons. We know this, but I'm curious, what led you to the sober life? So you said you did like, you know, an alcohol-free, I'm assuming, was it like a dry January or you just felt compelled to like take a break? But like what really gave you that initial idea that you wanted to no longer drink?
Yeah, so at the time in 2017, it wasn't dry January. I should have. I didn't even know about January. I would have, but it was, you know, it was probably around March, and I was super busy because I, at that time, I worked in finance for JP Morgan. I'm also a DJ. So that time I was living this crazy dual life. Mm. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can't keep up with these early mornings, late nights with alcohol in my life. And so at that time, I wanted to monitor my energy and how much it changed my body. And so I gave up alcohol. I also gave up meat at that time. And I remember like, after that 30 days, I couldn't find a reason to bring it back. And I remember specifically because like I went to Coachella and I was like, okay, if I could survive Coachella with no alcohol, I could do this. And then another personal level for people who don't know this, but I grew up with an alcoholic father and stepfather. So I kind of saw kind of what alcohol can do to you if you continue down this dark path. And I just, you know, I just didn't want to follow that path. I want to have a control. And so I just tried it just to see if I was capable of it. Kind of a fun fact, me and my father both gave it up at the same time, but he ended up coming back to it. So it's kind of also empowering for me of like, yeah, dad, you can still do it because remember we stopped together and I'm still not doing it. So it's just a lot of pieces of my story that led to that sobriety for myself.
Thank you for sharing that. I connect with that so much because funny enough, my family history is plagued with alcoholism and it's similar to you. Like I set out to get sober for myself because I needed that change. But in the process of doing so, it was almost like a model, like an exemplar for my mom who had her own issues with alcohol. And she got sober around the same time that I got sober and she's still sober. So I totally relate to this idea that like, yes. Right. Thank you. Thank you. And like, fingers crossed, like she's given it up for good. But like, it was years before, like constantly trying to, you know, when you point the finger, they say like three fingers point back at you kind of thing. Yep. So I'm over here like pointing the finger, like you drink too much, you're this, you're that. But then I'm not looking at myself in the mirror and realizing that I am doing very similar, if not the same damn thing. So maybe I need to take a look at myself and also stop trying to be a control freak and control other people the only thing that I have control over is myself, right?
Yep.
And so in doing so, like, I got sober, and my mom, as mentioned, is also sober. So thank you for sharing that. And I think, like, to your credit, like, you're still sober. How long? So that was 2017, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what was that, like, 5 years?
Yeah, like almost six. Yeah. It's wild when I think about it. Because even my friends were like, oh my God, you're still doing this? And I'm like, yeah, I am. It's become a part of, you know, who I am and what I stand by.
I love that. I love that. So I also like that you shared, like, this duality that kind of existed for you as well. Like, you were, not to say you were living a double life, but here you are, like, on the straight and narrow, living this corporate, like, JP Morgan grind. I shouldn't say straight and narrow, because I feel like finance people, maybe.
Oh, but I get it. Yes. It felt like
the main ones. Sure. Like, the main ones that, like, turned up. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're, you have to present yourself a certain way in that setting. And then on the back end, you're also, you know, in the club scene as a DJ. So what was that like for you? Like, how are you managing your life at that point when you were doing both? Like, that seems really taxing and exhausting.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I probably wasn't managing it the best way. And I think that's what really led to me stopping. But, like, you know, I was, you know, in my 20s. I thought I had all the energy, you know, not necessarily going to work, like, hungover, but just, like, feeling awful. But, like, look, I could push through this. I'm young. Just let me drink some coffee. So mentally and physically, I probably wasn't in the best shape. And it was kind of like I knew I was at some point going to hit a brick wall. And even with, like, being in nightlife, you're surrounded by so much alcohol. So much alcohol is given to you. You're giving bottles. Everybody wants to buy you drinks. You have a bar tab when you're DJing. So it was very hard for me to say no to a lot of things. I think I just had to figure out, like, what I wanted for myself and what my goals were and how I was going to be able to achieve it. And I recognized that, yeah, alcohol wasn't going to get me there.
And so you continued DJing even sober, correct?
Yes, and that was a big transition too.
Yeah, okay. Tell us more about that. Like, I don't know how.
Yes.
I heard people, like, bartenders are sober and DJ. I'm like, how? How can you be sober?
Yes.
Tell me more.
Yes, it's hard because, like, a lot of people drink when they're, like, nervous or they need to relax. And when you're a DJ, you're, like, front and center. You have all of this attention on you, and it could cause a lot of anxiety. And so for me, I had to really push through that and really, like, figure out how to meditate, how to take deep breaths, how to speak positivity in myself to make sure that I could still bring my best self to this DJ set without letting my nerves or anxiety take the best of me. And so that was just challenging overall, just, you know, figuring out how to do a set sober. And I liked it on the inside because I wanted people to be able to enjoy my set, whether they were intoxicated or whether they were sober, like, you know, because I wanted to give my best self mentally. And I knew the best way to do that was to be sober.
Right, right. And did it feel like grounding almost, like you're more present when you're sober and you can read the room better? Because I'm assuming as a DJ, like, you have to be able to, like, almost be like an empath and, like, feel the vibes and, like, the way the set is going, if people are liking your music or not.
Yes, you feel a lot more of the energy and the emotions of the crowd and the people. And like, just in general, I always tell people, like, I understand people who have a hard time becoming sober because then in a sense, it's almost like you're having to face a lot of your demons or a lot of the things you try to run from. And so if I felt any sense of insecurity or, you know, I would feel that immediately on the, you know, behind a DJ booth, and I just had to fight through that. But yeah, it was very difficult to manage those emotions while trying to curate a crowd for people.
Right. And so how are you now? Like, so you have about 6 years of sobriety. You're still DJing, correct? Like, now?
Yes. Yep.
So is it, because, okay, I'll just share a little bit. Like, I find that I can be around people drinking, no problems, right? Like, cool.
Yep.
You want to drink? I'm sober. That's fine. I'm going to be sipping on wine not soon, right? Like, in my cup, like,
yes.
And everything's good. But it's when people,
you know, when they breach that threshold to like that drunk, like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's one thing, okay, like you're drinking, you're tipsy, but now like you're intoxicated and you're repeating yourself and you're like this close to my face. And like, I don't know, you're breathing on me. You're just annoying me. So how is that? Like, are you DJing in clubs? Is it more like corporate settings, like wet or weddings? Or like just in general, do you find like the energy is the same when people are drinking? Or are you, I guess my question is, are you annoyed in the same way that I am? Or do you have a layer of protection being behind the booth? I don't know. That's my question.
Yeah. I mean, definitely you do have a layer of protection. And I remember being completely annoyed too. Like, oh my God, this person's so sloppy. But I have to like check myself because I'm like, I probably was the same person. And I started feeling bad for anybody I was like that with because I was like, oh my God, I hate it now. It was so annoying when I was drunk. But in terms of DJing, I do a wide range of events, but there are certain events that I tend to like a little bit more. Like me, I love like special events. I love corporate events. I love brunches, day parties, nighttime. And I think overall the nightlife is going to have a shift pretty soon because I think that everyone is kind of over the 10 to 2 format, being there the whole time, especially as people recognize that they don't want to drink as much. It's mm-hmm. going to shift a lot of that narrative. But for me, yes, definitely being in more sophisticated events where, you know, people know how to have fun without being sloppy, overly drunk at the same time. But again, it's no judgment because I'm like, I was there, you know, I just give them grace, but I definitely find a way to set my boundaries.
I love that. And I should probably give people more grace because I was definitely the main one who was the most annoying drunk. But I can't help it. Like, I get annoyed. But I'm also, like, not behind the booth like you. I'm not, like, in this exclusive little bubble. I'm, like, in the thick of things, right? but I'm also wondering, because you mentioned, like, this cultural shift, and I agree. Like, so I went to a conference this past weekend. I went to PodFest in Orlando. And because I was talking about my podcast, the sober keyword, sober butterfly, it's on my tag. So everyone, it's almost like we could skip the small talk and people just straight, you know, got into like the meat of the conversation, which is what I love. And so a lot of people were like asking me questions about sobriety, but also like recognized for one reason or another, I don't know if it's because it's Dry January and that's becoming more popular, or I don't know, just I'm finding that more and more people that I didn't even realize are sober. And so I'm wondering, just from your perspective, and maybe like also in terms of why you started Why Not, do you find that it's more socially acceptable now, especially because you have tons of sober time? Do you find that more people are sober than before? Because I felt like, even me, I've only been sober a year and a half. I felt like when I first got sober, I was just, I wasn't meeting as many people who were sober as opposed to now. Maybe that's the natural law of attraction. I'm not sure. But what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I completely agree. So, and that kind of what fuels me, right? So when I started kind of taking on this brand of being sober, so many people will reach out to me and be like, hey, Ash, I want to stop drinking. Do you have any tips on how to do it? Or, hey, I love that you're doing this. I'm sober. I've been sober. And it's kind of like people hide themselves. Like they don't speak about them being sober because maybe there's this weird image around what being sober means. But I've had so many people reach out and be inspired by what I'm doing because I don't think a lot of people kind of make it known. So that's great that you're, that's why I love this platform that you're doing because you're making it known, you're making it cool and acceptable, and it's allowing people to feel like they have a place where they could be seen. But, you know, I would say I have friends who, when I probably started stopped drinking like 5 years ago or you do it, I don't get it. And now it's funny because now they're like, hey, I'm thinking about giving up alcohol. And I'm like, whoa, you were like the biggest person telling me not to do it and judging me for it. But now you're jumping on this bandwagon and you're seeing that, hey, there's a change. And I even like did a survey that I'm still running. But it's funny because I had read online like different statistics about, oh, 22% of people want to reduce their alcohol intake. And then the survey that I just did, I actually found that 50% of people want to reduce their alcohol intake. So it's definitely a shift happening. And I think, you know, things like Dry January is making it known, which I think years ago, people probably didn't even know what Dry January was. I didn't. So it's just going to show how much there's a shift in the industry overall.
That's crazy. So through your survey, you said about 50% of people, whether they were drinking or not, were looking to reduce or completely eliminate their alcohol intake.
Yeah, these are people who actually drink alcohol, and 50% of people who drink alcohol said they want to reduce their alcohol intake. And I think the number one reason was like weight loss, and the second one was like improve like mental wellness.
Okay. When you set out to be sober, was it for you a forever thing, or was it similar to like the findings from your survey? It was just like, I want to change my lifestyle. Maybe I want to look better. Like did you think it was going to be a long-term thing, or were you just looking to like remove it from your lifestyle for a shorter amount of time?
Yeah. So my initial plan was like improve mental wellness, right? Or being more cognizant when I go out. But I envisioned 30 days, but I think at the end of the 30, it's kind of like, I was like, why do you need alcohol? And like I said, I when I had survived Coachella sober, I was like, okay, well, I mean, I don't know. I proved that I can have fun and be sober. So I was like, what are the reasons why I really need it? Do I feel like I need it because my personality shines? And I was like, well, no, my personality should be able to shine whether I have alcohol or not. Because if you're in a work setting, you can't just be drunk, and you know, you still have to showcase who you are, and you have to do that sober. So I wanted to challenge myself to be who I was without substance. Now what I've seen is like, a lot of people want to be like in shape and snatched. They care about their figure. And I see a lot more TikTok influencers telling people like, hey, if you want to look like this, you really got to cut out the alcohol. And even I have friends who go to personal trainers here in LA, and their diet says like, cut out alcohol for 2 weeks. So it's like, people are recognizing that the type of life that they want to live may not include alcohol in it. So it's interesting that people want weight loss now.
I think there is a difference between sobriety for everything you mentioned, the aforementioned reasons being like weight loss, you want to feel better, you want to look better, and then recovery, which is this was dangerous in the sense that it could be life and death for people, right? Like for me, I'm somewhere in the middle. I think the issue with alcohol with me is that it completely lowered my inhibitions. And that threshold would just be open to, now I want to experiment. Now I want to put myself in situations that are extremely unsafe, like going home with someone that I just met, for example, right? Yeah. So yeah, like that's, so like, it's, I think it's great that people are doing it. Like, I'm like, listen, if anyone's promoting sobriety, I don't care if it's for superficial reasons, like you want to lose 10 pounds, right? Like at the end of the day, like alcohol has zero health benefits. Like, don't let the literature lie to you. So you might as well, like, if we can get people basically on our team, I'm like, the more the merrier. But do you think there is any inherent danger in, I take that question back. I don't want to say inherent danger. Do you think it's important to distinguish the difference between sobriety and say recovery? And also my question to you is, do you fall on a certain line? Are you sober? Are you sober? Or do you think you're more in recovery? Or does that make a difference to you?
Yeah. So I think it is a very kind of thin line with both. Because like I said, I have an alcoholic father, and I remember him telling me in AA, they kind of steer them away from having like non-alcoholic brands because they don't want it to trigger. And so even when I think about my brand, I know I can't cure alcoholism, and I definitely don't want to put someone back in recovery, you know, who's in recovery back into that place. So I think there is a distinction between the two, and my focus is those people who just want to make those lifestyle changes, who's sober curious, like they're thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, they may still drink, but maybe they won't have 5 drinks at the bar. They may have 2 alcoholic drinks, and maybe 1 non-alcoholic, but just finding that balance that works for them. It doesn't matter what your reasoning is or why you're here, but just, I'm encouraging people to just explore it. Like I said, and you know, probably in the same boat, you probably give it up for like 30 days and you recognize like, wait, I like the way I feel. My skin looks good. I feel good. I wake up at 7 a.m. I'm not hungover. And so people like that. Like, people want to feel good naturally. And so I just want people to at least try it and see how it goes.
Actually, earlier you had mentioned something that struck a chord with me, which was this idea that like you had some friends who were less than encouraging, we'll say, less than encouraging about your sobriety in the beginning. And then those are the same people that like hit you up later about this idea that like, hey, I see your life is so much better. Tell me more about the sober life. So I'm wondering, how do you and maybe did you deal with people who were not supportive of your sobriety in the beginning? Because I'm struggling with that myself. And I'm sure some listeners at home may be wondering the same thing. Like, did you lose friends with your newfound sobriety? Did you have to give people grace? Like, where was your head at with people who were less than supportive?
Yeah, so I think what sobriety showed me was, you know how you have a friend for going out or a friend for this? It helped me to identify, like, it was people who I thought were friends, but then I recognized, like, no, this is just my friend. And so it helped me to highlight that a little bit better. And I knew, okay, if I want to go out, I want to party, I call this friend, but I knew that they probably weren't going to be, like, my most supportive go-to everyday type of friend. So it just showcased what the different friends were. I did give them grace because I never understood why people take it personally when you don't drink or why they feel bothered by it. So I'm like, it must be some type of insecurity that they have that maybe they feel like, oh, do I need to stop drinking? Do I have a problem? I was hanging out with her. You know, was this bad? And so I just recognized that it was more so an insecurity on their end than on my end. And so I gave them grace, but it just, you know, maybe distance people in certain situations, like, hey, okay, this is just my party friend. When I want to party, maybe for an hour, I call this person, we go out, that's it.
Wow, big of you, very big of you. I'm just getting there now, but like, I definitely took it personal because to your point, I'm like, why do you care that I'm not drinking? Especially for people who I felt like I was more vulnerable or who understood the struggle that I was going through, not just with my own sobriety or my own drinking, I should say, but also like with my family history. I'm like, damn, like I would think of all people, you would be there for me and be happy. But to your point, I think it's less to do with you and more to do with their own relationship with alcohol. So yeah, thank you for sharing, because I'm still trying to like maneuver that. Because I don't know, I take things personally. I can cut people off very, very quickly. Especially when I feel like I would never do that to someone. So yeah, I appreciate you giving me that feedback and people listening that feedback as well. So tell us, I want to like kind of switch gears if it's okay. This is a new question I'm playing around with. So you're the first person this season that I'm asking.
Okay. Or on the show. I have an idea, but let's see if we're aligned here.
Oh, wait, what's your idea? What do you think I'm going to say?
Is it about dating?
I was going to get there. No, but okay, let's go with the dating, because you brought up dating and I am getting it. I'm getting warmed up to date. I'm open. Last all 2022, I was closed. Okay. The shop was closed, but now I'm like trying to figure it out. Okay. What are your thoughts on dating? Sober dating. Tell me.
Sober dating was definitely a transition too, because I think and I see most women say this online too, and I know I experienced it myself, but like, you know, if you're going on a first date with a guy, a lot of times we look at alcohol to help ease it. And a lot of dates are centered around alcohol. And so I remember when I was dating while, you know, just becoming sober, it was very hard for us to decide what our date should be. Cause most guys are like, oh, let's go grab drinks. And I'm like, I don't drink. And they're like, oh. And I don't know why guys' first dates are always like, okay, I eat.
Wait, you don't know why?
Okay, I do know why. Sorry, I do know why. Let me stop. But if there's a guy listening, please don't start off with drinks. But
yes.
It was challenging trying to find something kind of accommodating, and they kind of ran out of ideas. And even when you go to a club or a bar, and a guy wants to talk to you, he's like, oh, let me buy you a drink. And you're like, oh, I don't drink. So it kind of makes them feel weird. And so I've just come in a habit of like, oh, you can't buy me a drink or an alcoholic drink, but you can buy me a club soda, just to make them feel kind of supported and, you know. But it was very hard kind of navigating that, the life of dating sober, just figuring out what to do and also feeling at ease on a date with the guy. Because I think a lot of their personality and their kind of plan for a date is centered around alcohol. So when you knock that out, they're like, oh crap, what do I have to do? I actually have to think. I actually have to put in work.
Thank you. You actually have to put in work. Who would have thought it wouldn't just be as easy as, oh, let me buy you 2-3 drinks. Let's go back to my place. That's a Netflix show. Like, no, sorry. Like, that would have worked on me 2 years ago.
Yes.
But I'm evolved now. Okay. I am evolved. You cannot trick me. Okay. Can't play a player. So I like that you brought up dating, because at the conference I mentioned earlier that I went to, there were some guys. And it's so funny because, like, one woman who was sober, she told me something, and I'm actually gonna let me know if this is true. So I'm celibate. I haven't had sex. That was not intentional. It's a whole other story. But
I feel like most of us are on the same wave, but go ahead.
Okay. So 14 months now. 14 months of no sex. That was not the intention, but, like, to what you were mentioning before, right? Like, I can't just randomly hook up with people because there is no social lubricant. The social lubricant being alcohol, right? Like, loop me up. Now I'm ready to go. You can't do that.
Yes.
So I actually have to connect with you and like you to have sex with you. Who would have thought? Anyway, so I'm celibate. And this woman told me, she's like, listen, be careful who you have sex with. And I'm like, yeah, I know that. She's like, no, hear me out. She's sober. She's like, you're going to connect, like, you're going to form an attachment. When you have sober sex, you are going to form an attachment to that person, like almost like bond. She kind of scared me. And I was like, really? She's like, yes. Like, this is through and through, tested and proven. That's what she was saying. And so it's funny because there was one guy, and I didn't have sex with him at all, but he got a little tipsy at this, like, after event, and he started to hold my hand. And it wasn't just like a hold hand, like how you would hold, like, your little cousin's hand or something, or I don't know. It was like interlock, you know, when you take your fingers and you, like, literally interlock with someone. And I felt tingly. I was just like, oh my God, like, this is the most action I've gotten in so long. Like, he's holding my hand. And so it's, I know it sounds ridiculous. I got scared because I was like, oh my God, if I'm getting hot and bothered by someone holding my hand, can you imagine when I actually allow them inside of me, like, what that's going to be like? So tell me more, Ashley. What is it like? What is it like with being sober and having sex? I have had sober sex once, and it was not good. I'm just going to be honest. It wasn't good. So I kind of discount that. That was, like, within the first month of my sobriety. But yeah. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that for me, it really relied on, like you said, that connection. And I've always been that type of person where I felt like, in terms of sex, I'm more emotionally and mentally stimulated. And it, like you, it takes me a while to actually, like, find someone. And I think this is just a trend with women right now. Like, we have much more, we're protecting our peace a little bit more. So we're taking things a little bit slower to make sure that we can build that connection and it's authentic.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is so much too.
I'm tired of trauma bonding with people.
Yeah, like, yes.
Anymore. So I'm like that now. I never used to be like that. Sorry. That's all you. I have to, like, make sure people know, like, I was just drunk and ready to rumble.
Yeah. I was just making a bad decision, unfortunately. And that's what I tell guys too. I was like, I always, especially guy friends and stuff, I'm like, don't ever have sex with a girl for the first time while she's drunk. Even if she is, it seems like she wants it. It's like, if she wouldn't have sex with you sober, don't have sex with her drunk, because most likely she probably does not really want to do it, but just intoxicated and feel a little bit, you know, more, I don't know. Alcohol and sex is just a completely different realm.
And
but
I have to caution to follow it up. You're right. Like, I say the same thing to my guy friends. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's more, like, socially acceptable now. Like, people recognize that. Like, don't do the frat boy thing and get her wasted and have sex with her. Like, that's not good. But the same goes both ways. Like, we have to, as women, we have to hold each other accountable. Like, if you need, and this is, and I'm talking to myself, like old me, right? If I need to have a drink to have sex with this person.
And you don't like that person.
I don't like them. And that's okay. That doesn't mean, like,
If I'm like, oh, I don't really like this guy, but oh, he's buying drinks, I'll go out on, like, no, girl, you don't.
You don't.
If I have a drink to be around you, I don't like you. So
thank you. And that goes for everyone, right? Because, like, then you find, like, if the only common ground is, like, yeah, I want to, like, get drunk with you, that means, like, we're calibrating on a very low level and the vibes are off. Like, if I can't sit with you sober and have a good conversation, like, what does that say? That says more than you can relate to anyone drunk, you know, like anyone.
Yeah. Even when I'm out and I meet a guy and he's like sloppy drunk and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like we have a connection. But I'm like, no, this man is sloppy drunk. Like, he probably won't even remember our connection or our conversation the next day. So let me just let this man go on and continue his life, because I'd rather build a connection with him while he's sober, not while he's drunk at a bar buying 10 shots, you know?
And so the same guy I was interlocked with, holding hands, I saw him the next day and I could tell he was embarrassed because he was like, sorry, like last night I drank a bit too much and I may have been a bit handsy. And I was like, yeah, but like, I didn't mind. Okay. Cause he wasn't being disrespectful, like feeling on my body. It was like, literally, he was just holding my hand. So yeah, like but I can tell that like, that's not the same version of the person I was meeting or hanging out with the night before. So yeah, I'm glad that you brought that point up, because it's sometimes hard out there. Like, so can you date someone who drinks? Like, you're okay with dating someone that's a social drinker or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm okay with dating someone that's a social drinker. Most of the guys I've dated have been, they drank alcohol, but they have been a little bit more like modest with it. Like, they haven't been like the, I've never seen them drunk. I've never seen them sloppy. If they have drinks, it's like, oh, I'm at a birthday party. We're taking a shot for that. I've never seen them like kind of abuse alcohol. So
okay,
I don't think I could date someone who is like that, but you know, I'm not discriminating against anyone that drinks alcohol. It's just as long as you know your limits and you know what works for you.
Yeah. And so do you, I agree. I 100% what you said. Like, I can do someone who drinks, but like, if you get drunk, it's a turn off for me. It's a no.
Yes.
But my question for you is, do you think, like, can you moderate? So like, I know you don't have no plans on drinking again, but were you ever able to moderate? Cause I wasn't, and I like to ask people that question, because going back to the course I mentioned, or I may have not mentioned it, but I had a course to help people quit drinking, and I was like treated like an experiment. And after the 30 days, how do you feel, obviously, but also like, the question I asked them was, are you able to moderate? Because sometimes we lie to ourselves and say to ourselves, I don't have a problem, or like, I'm good without it. But then if you can't have one drink and be satisfied, maybe that's something that's good inventory. That's good data for you to have. So going back to your drinking days, were you able to be satisfied with one or two drinks, or just to meet your limits, since we're talking about limits here?
So I was very much a party girl, but so one drink to me, I probably was like, what's the point? Like, two drinks, it depends on what the drinks are. Like, you know, obviously I worked in corporate, so I had to be in environments where I'm like, okay, girl, you can't have five, even though it's open bar, they watch it. So I knew how to moderate, but when it's fun, turn up, I knew my limits, but it probably was I definitely was having at least two.
Okay.
Two to four. If you were to talk to me now about it, I think I could, if I went back to it, I could moderate it. Cause I think a lot of the times people drink, or they drink in like party settings, it's because they're bored. It's like, okay, I don't know what else to do. I need something in my hand. What's next? And so they just grab a drink just to keep themselves engaged. Okay. So now that I am aware of why I was doing the things I do. Like, now I'm like, okay, if I'm at a party and I'm bored, I need to go home. That means I'm not here. I'm not meant to be here. And drinking, I shouldn't drink because I'm bored. That means this party is just not it. I need to get out of here.
So, wow.
That level of awareness that I have now.
Yes, you have awareness and perspective. That I love that. I use my platform to obviously highlight sober women or sober people. But yeah. I especially feel like there needs to be more of a space for us, like Black women, people of color, because going back to what you mentioned about being in a corporate setting. So I also work in a professional setting. And even in the throes of my addiction, at the height of my drinking, best believe at a work event, I was on my best behavior.
Yes.
So it just took me down memory lane, because there were times where it was like, I would pregame at the Christmas party, for example, and then get wild later on. But that I would never be wild as a Black woman at a work event, in the same way that some of my colleagues, my white colleagues, could act a fool and still be taken seriously the next day. Does that make sense?
Yes, completely.
You experienced something similar?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody knows this. Everybody's like, look, we can't do the same thing they can do. And we always like have these eyes on us. And the moment we do let loose, it's going to be an email the next day, a talking to, a whisper in the hallway. And you're like, you will never get past that.
But you know what? And I like that we brought that up, because this is not even, I've never thought about that until you just brought this up, Ashley, because in that same breath, I think sometimes that keeps people sick, right? So if you always feel like you have to give off this air of professionalism or perfection, and you can't let loose in the same way as your white colleagues, for example, in a public setting, yet you might give yourself a pat on the back, like, oh, okay, I didn't make a fool of myself publicly, but behind closed doors or in different settings, you're acting a fool. And I just feel like sometimes that perpetuates this narrative that, like, I have to present a certain way, and therefore I'm not getting the help, or maybe the signs are not always like leading to me seeking help because I'm able to contain it and keep it together on the outside. Does that make sense? Am I making a weird connection there?
No, you're making complete sense. I think they call it too, like a functional alcoholic as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I said, I grew up in a household with alcoholism, and I watched these people take a shot before work and function. And it's some type of like functional alcoholism where you kind of can maintain this kind of life or this world, but still straddle this line of like, oh, I can still get away with it versus not.
But the added like being like a person of color, I was just always raised to be like, you can't be like them. Yeah. Like you have to be better. Like you can't do the same things that other people can do because the spotlight is on you. And so I think sometimes that pressure can lead you to A, lie to the world, but also lie to yourself, right? Like, because it's like, to your point, functional alcoholic, I have my life together. Look, like on paper, everything's great. Like I look great, but inside where it counts, it's a wreck. It's a complete mess. But like, I think sometimes like, it's like programming, like that wiring is like you, I literally just had this epiphany. I'm like, maybe I would have gotten help sooner. Maybe I would have quit drinking earlier if I wasn't so programmed for perfection, if I wasn't so worried about what the outside or how the outside world saw me as a person of color in white spaces, especially.
Absolutely.
Literally, you just led me to that when you mentioned like being in work events and like being able to contain yourself and moderate. But like a lot of other people, conversations I have, like I don't think they would necessarily have that same mindset because it's almost like a privilege, right? Like I can drink as a person that blends in, and it's not going to be a company email the next day. It's not going to be like, you know, it might not be a conversation in the same way. It's not going to be all of a sudden my reputation is ruined and I'm an embarrassment for Black people everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I remember I went to a retreat that my team did, and you know, a manager got so wasted, like, and it was a treat where we spent the night. So everyone like really let loose. And so she was just wild. She was standing on top of tables. And I'm like, I could never do that. And the next day, it was like, oh yeah, that's just that's just such and such. That's just, you know, she just has fun.
Yeah. It's like low key, I want to be up there too. I want to be dancing on the table too, but
yeah. I wish. But I remember I just had my little drink and I just was sipping it. I was like, okay, Ashley, time to go to bed. You know, I don't even stay long because I don't even want to be tempted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that we just both, I literally just changed the way I see that. Like, I did not think about that before. So the question I was going to ask you before the dating one was just, okay, this is like, I'm introducing this. So like, if it falls flat, yeah, that's okay. I'm wondering, do you remember your last drunk? Like, I feel like there's always a story connected to like that last drunk, because I think it leads people to be like, now I'm done. I'm, or at least I'm taking a break. So I'll give you a second. Yeah. I don't know if you remember off the top of your
honestly,
head.
Honestly, I do. I remember it as wild as it is. Yeah, I think I was like DJing a party and I definitely got drunk. And I remember like, and it was a party that I kind of had hosted. And like, you know, at parties, like you could like maybe a cover. Mm-hmm. And so I like lost at this party the like money box.
Oh no.
Right.
The money
but we took the money out, but like I lost that whole box. And I was like,
wow.
How did you lose a whole box at a party? Like, that's not at the venue. What did you know what I mean? So and my friend was like, who was doing the party, was like, girl, you gotta get your shit together, pretty much. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God. Like, so that was like the biggest like eye opening of like, okay, I can't just be wasted while I'm doing an event or I'm DJing because it's throwing me off my A game. It's throwing me off my business. Like, if right. I did have money in it, I would have been a disaster. But it was just so irresponsible of me to do something like that. And I think that was kind of like, all right, Ashley, let's reevaluate some things here.
Right. And how do you DJ drunk? Is that like, because I'm assuming like people do that all the time. Like, what's that like? Are you good? Do you feel like you're a better DJ now that you're sober?
I am, but I can understand why people do it sober, because when you do it drunk, because when you're drunk, you're just free. You're just
okay.
I'm just doing whatever, and it's good until like the next day you're like, I don't even remember what I was playing. You know what I mean? Like you might not have a recollection of maybe the things you might have said on the mic. It just takes you to a whole nother like like alter ego, which can be good, because you know, like Beyonce has Sasha Fierce, so you're like, okay, whoever that person was, they just took over last night.
Yeah.
But now I'm a lot more present in my sets. I get to experience it more. I get to be more in tune with the people and the music, and so I think that's where it becomes a little bit better.
Awesome. That makes sense. Well, thank you so much for answering my questions. I want to open the mic. Get it? Open the mic. Okay. Open the mic to you. Just to tell the people a little bit more about Why Not, anything that you want to share, any upcoming like projects or announcement, the stage is yours. Let the people know.
Yes. And so for those listening, Why Not is a non-alcoholic sparkling wine that allows you to indulge in social and celebratory moments without sacrificing taste. And so I'm exploring unique flavors and ingredients to kind of create this inclusive yet euphoric social experience. So I know that a lot of people may drink because they may have social anxiety or they just want to calm their nerves. And so not only am I bringing kind of a sophisticated non-alcoholic sparkling wine, but I'm creating something within it to kind of ease your mind a little bit with natural herbs. So it's kind of a functional beverage at the same time. I'm launching officially in April of 2023, I'll start off with a sparkling white and like a rosé, but the plan is to expand to other flavors, look at other components that I can add to it to just enhance the customer experience so that everyone can engage in it. But yeah, I'm just really excited about it. I think what I'm excited about is really building up this category and this platform. I know there's a lot of non-alcoholic brands in the market, but I think a lot of people don't know that they exist or don't know that they have these options. And so not only am I trying to build up Why Not, I'm trying to build up the whole non-alcoholic industry. So you can go to a bar or a restaurant or a social gathering, and it's kind of normal to have, you know, non-alcoholic options that are kind of adult and sophisticated at the same time. My Instagram is DJ_A-List, A-L-I-S-T. My Why Not Brands Instagram is Why Not Live, so LIVE. That's also the website. So you could find me on both of those platforms. If you subscribe on my website, you'll be the first to know when I launch. But I'm just excited to take over the world, take over this industry, and show people that there is a way that they can be their best self and feel confident in that.
I love it. Yes. And I will be subscribing to your website because I cannot wait to try Why Not. Especially, like, I love that the part where you mentioned, like, you're not sacrificing taste, right? Like, no, we can social, celebrate, but also I need it to taste good. I need it to taste good.
It's like your adult taste palate has evolved, right? Like, you don't want juice, you don't want water, you want something that still has kick to it, that feels like you're drinking something sophisticated. And so I think just because you don't drink alcohol doesn't mean that you should sacrifice that.
We buy Black here. So also, yes. I'm so proud. Let's support Black businesses. Let's pour into ourselves, literally pour into ourselves. And yeah, I'm just so inspired by everything you're doing, Ashley. Like, you having this initiative is just so powerful. And I actually, like, I need to do some research, but I can't think of a single Black owned alcohol free company right now. So
it's not one. It's not one. And even women of color, I think I would be the first one. But yes, it is also empowering just being a Black person entering this space, because you see history of alcohol brands really marketing and catering to Black communities, like Hennessy, you know what I mean? And so it's kind of shifting that, where I'm trying to show even our community that there is another way, there is an alternative, and kind of reversing a lot of that substance abuse marketing towards our communities of color.
Oh, you just touched on so many good points. I was about to wrap up, but the last note is, you know, the situation with 50 Cent, right? Like, how he doesn't drink and he
has
a freaking alcohol company that he promotes.
Yes.
That's a prime example.
Yes, and even
what? Why don't you start something you can actually drink? And that's for us.
Yes.
I don't
know. And I think there's an article where I saw a picture of him, like, in a club.
Fake popping bottles.
But I think he put, like, ginger ale in his bottle or something. So I'm like, fam. But it's fine. It's fine. And I think that's another thing people don't recognize. There are a lot of people who don't drink alcohol. And I'm like, why aren't you guys promoting it? Why aren't you guys speaking on it? You guys are promoting alcohol, allowing us to destroy our bodies and our minds, right? But meanwhile, you don't even really drink like that, you know? So just try to show alternatives to also empower our community.
I love it, and I stand behind you, and I cannot wait. As soon as it's launching, like, as soon as it launches, I'm sorry, please let me know. Maybe we'll even bring you back.
Yes.
I would love that. I would love that. We can bring you back on the show. I would love to. I'm doing more giveaways, and I want to get into more events this year. So if there's ever an opportunity for me to showcase Why Not, let me know, and I will for sure be front and center. Thank you, Ashley, so much.
Thank you.
And I'm so just extra thankful that this is take two. But I actually think this is better than the first time, because now we know each other. Like, clothes.
Yeah.
Thank you again. And yeah, we will see you soon. And I can't wait for everything to launch.
All right. Thank you.